Morning, Lord. I want to thank you for the opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk this morning and preach the blessed word of God. I pray, God, knowing that you are worthy of all praise, Lord, and I pray you'd help us, Lord, to do what we can do this morning to magnify you. Magnify yourself amongst us. Manifest yourself amongst us. Speak to our hearts and change us by your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now listen. I did not come here this morning. I want you to understand something about you, preacher. Because I know my shortcomings. I know my flaws and my faults and my failures. Listen, you say, how do you know? Because I have a wife. Somebody will say amen right there. Listen, God gave me somebody who would make sure that I knew. Amen right there. Listen, I ain't nobody. I'm not nothing special. I don't have no talents this morning. And listen, I want you to understand that I did not come in here today to give you a motivational speech. I did not come in here today to give you a theological dissertation or to have a debate with you over doctrinal issues. I didn't come in here to wow you with my oratory skills and show you how great of a speaker I am. I got to thinking about this when I was studying for this message. I like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. We did not come with enticing words of men's wisdom. I didn't come this morning to show you how great I am, but I did come in here this morning just to see if there was anybody in Bakertown, North Carolina, that would magnify the Lord with me today. I got some things I wrote down right here that I want you to see. Is everybody okay this morning? Y'all alive? Is your heart beating? Is your breath going? Listen, magnify the Lord with me. We ought to magnify Him. Because, look at verse number 4, of his personal intervention. This is amazing right here. Look what David said. Now, understand, what did we say about David? He's a sinful man. He's a wicked man. He's got all kind of problems. He's got all kind of troubles. But he does know the Lord. And look what he says in verse number 4. I sought the Lord. Now, let's stop right there for just a minute. I find this very interesting because in David's time of trouble, he still sought the Lord. I think a lot of Christians can learn something right here. This ain't the message, but I want you to get this. If there's ever a time to seek the Lord, it's when you think that he can't hear you. If there was ever a time to pursue God, it's when you think you're not good enough. Because if you think you're not good enough, now you're starting to get it. I sought the Lord. Now that's pretty cool. David sought after the Lord. But I tell you what's more interesting than that. Look at the next line. And he heard me. I ain't going to be able to preach this whole thing this morning because I'm going to get hung up right here. He heard me. I just want to say this morning, I'm going to pass out trying to preach this. I want to say this morning, I'm glad I've got a God that hears me. Amen. All over the world today, there's people praying to entities that have been made up in the minds and the hands of men, and they're saying all kind of prayer. Right now, somewhere, there's a Muslim laid down on the floor, touching his head to a mat, talking words of prayer into the atmosphere, and nobody's listening. Somewhere right now there's a Buddhist monk that's dedicated his life to living in a temple to worship a God that is made of stone and made of materials that when he prays, his ears do not respond because he can't hear. But I want to say this morning, thank God that I've got a God that when I pray, he's got ears to hear and he hears my prayer. Not only that, but look what he says. I like this. He delivered me. Now, we talk a lot about deliverance. In the modern church, we got deliverance all messed up. God, we want God to deliver us from being poor. Amen. We want God to deliver us from having the sniffles. And deliver us from the person that we don't like so we don't have to confront them and deal with that and have a real conversation. We want God to deliver us in a way that makes everybody else think that we're great. That's what we like. But I want you to notice what David said right here. This is big time stuff. He delivered me from all my fears. I tell you what God will do for you. He'll get you to the place where the devil can't scare you no more. David said, said, not only, it's not that he delivered me from the problem. I'm not worried about the problem because I know that I've got him on my side. It's not just that he's delivered me from the sickness. I'm not afraid of the sickness because I know that I've got God. It's not just that he's delivered me from trouble. I do not fear the trouble because I know this is the same David that said just a few psalms back, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Listen to me, I do not fear, not because I'm strong, because he's strong.
Amen.
I don't have to fear. I've been delivered from fear, David said, not based on my power, but based on his power.
That's right.
He's delivered me from my fears. The devil can't scare me because I know my God is bigger than him. The enemy don't scare me because I know my God is stronger than he is. The trials and tribulations of life don't scare me because I know my God has already overcome this life. The sickness don't scare me because I know he can cast it out if he wanted to. Therefore, if I still have it, he pretty much knows what's going on. He must know what's going to happen. He must know how to handle it. You say, but preacher, what if you die from it? Then I just get to see him. Somebody will say, man, right there. Listen, the troubles don't scare me because I know he's greater. The financial woes don't scare me because I know he's the one that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills thereon, and the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. Listen to you, the strong don't scare me because I'm not trusting in the power of might or strength, but in the Spirit of God. This is why y'all read your Bible, folks. Because you read your Bible and you learn that God can do stuff that you can't do. I remember there was a time Israel was in battle trying to take a city, and the army of the city was so much greater than them. So the force that they were against was so much more powerful than them. And they went to God and said, what do we do? He said, y'all get up there and get ready to fight. And when you hear the wind begin to blow, when you hear a going in the top of the mulberry trees, you'll know that I'm with you. And when they heard that, and they rose up, they began to realize that not only was God with them, he had already gone before them. And the battle that they were facing, God had already won and pushed the enemy back before they ever got a chance to go. We ought to magnify him because of his personal intervention. David said like this, he delivered me from all my fears. Hey, I'm glad this morning that God's delivered you from something, but I need God to deliver me from something. Some of us need to get a hold of the personal intervention of God, the personal nature of a relationship with God. I'm glad that there's people in this... Hey, listen to what I'm saying this morning. Y'all listen to me, say amen. There's people sitting in this room right now. There are people sitting in this room right now who've got pictures of scans of their body with tumors on it, and then God removed them without them ever having surgery, and they ain't there no more. And that's wonderful, and that's amazing. But there may come a day when I get one of them pictures of me with tumors all over my body, and I'm glad God delivered you, Brother Mike, but I need God to deliver me. I need to have a personal relationship with him. On that day, Brother Mike's deliverance ain't going to do it for me. I'm going to need something personal. David said, I called to him. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. His personal intervention, but then I want you to see this. His public availability. Now notice the first word of verse number 5. They. They. Who do you think he was talking about right here? I don't know, but it wasn't him. They looked on him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Can I say this? I ain't going to stay long on this point, but let me say this. If God can change your life, he can change everybody else's life around you. Here's what the devil will tell you. It's great what God's doing in your life, but he can't do that for nobody else. You let them alone. They, you can't, ain't no help for them. A lot of us got people that we love and care about, that God could change them if we would just help them be introduced to it.
He's available, friend. He died. Jesus died not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Not for God so loved Down East Baptist Church. I'm glad He loves us, but He loves them too. I'm going to tell you something, church. There's a danger. There's a danger in this thing of us becoming too inwardly focused. There's a danger of us becoming too dedicated to us and forgetting about them.
Say, preacher, who can Jesus help? All of them. All of them.
Who's the gospel available to? Them. They. Preacher, who can get help from the Lord? All them.
They looked unto Him. Listen to this. I like what He says about it. And they were lightened.
All of a sudden, their loads got lighter. Can some of y'all attest to that right there? I remember the day, November 10th, 2013. I was thinking about it this morning. I'm coming up on 10 years. Coming up on a decade. November 10th will be my 10th spiritual birthday. November 10th, 2013. I remember how heavy the load was that I carried into that place. You say, what did he do, preacher? He made it lighter. I left a whole lot. I like that last part of the verse, and they were not ashamed. I left a whole lot of stuff that was my fault. Are y'all listening to me? I ain't never going to get to preach this whole message because y'all ain't helping me preach this morning. Listen to what I'm saying. When I listen, in the altar of that place, I left a whole lot of stuff that was my fault, and I walked away from it. And I left it there, but I was not ashamed because somebody else was handling it. Although it was my problems and my struggles and my fault, and I had gotten myself into that situation, I did not have to be ashamed to leave that at the feet of Jesus because He said, cast all your cares upon Me, for I care for you. And when He said it, He meant it.
Man, I tell you, there's a plague
in this generation.
Oh,
a plague of I don't know what else to call it besides suicide, but they're not putting a gun to their head and pulling the trigger. Now, that does still happen, but that ain't really elevated no more than it's ever been. They're putting a needle in their arm and pulling the trigger. You know what every heroin addict knows? That they are going to die from a heroin overdose. Every one of them knows it. How could they not? He said, what do they do in response to that? Put the needle in their arm and pull the trigger. That's suicide, folks. I don't know what else you call that. Listen to me now. Why is it that our culture in this day feels like they need something to take them out of this world? You know what heroin does? It temporarily removes you from reality. Same thing alcohol does, same thing all kinds of drugs do to an extent. But with this heroin, I mean, it's real to them. I don't know how I got on this, but I'm on it, so I'm going to preach it. It's real to them. You understand? And it removes them from reality for a time. And they make a trade right there that it's worth dying a junkie's death to have just that much time outside of the reality that they're living in. You know what that tells me? Their load's too heavy. Their load's too heavy. You say, preacher, they've got it easy. Maybe they do from my perspective, but it sure don't seem like they believe that.
Right.
There's something on them that they can't carry. And if they just get in here, if they just meet Jesus, He can lighten their load. If they just get a hold of Him, He could put them in a place where they didn't need that no more.
He's publicly available. Man, hey, listen. Maybe the preachers down the road or whatever don't preach on this stuff, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I got too many friends in the graveyard because they couldn't carry the load that life had placed on them. And instead of turning to somebody who could legitimately lighten their load, they turned to something that gave them a momentary reprieve, and eventually that moment was the last moment they had. Public availability. Then I want you to see this, verse number 6. His indiscriminate compassion. Listen to this. This poor man cried. Now I don't know if David was talking about himself right here, because he certainly wasn't poor in the physical sense, but he was spiritually poor in this moment. Or if he was talking about somebody else, maybe he was pointing at somebody when he said this poor man. But here's what I know. A poor man is an overlooked man. You know what I know about a poor man?
He's invisible to most people. The struggles of the poor are something that we rarely concern ourselves with. Especially in this culture. There wasn't no welfare in this society. There wasn't nothing like that. You had to do what you had to do. There would be a lot of people sitting around begging on the streets. Any of y'all ever been somewhere where there's a lot of homeless people at? If you've been to any big city in America in the last 10 years, you've seen a lot of homeless people. You know what most people do when they see a homeless person sitting on the side of the road? They just keep walking. I'm just being honest with you. For a lot of reasons, but the reasons don't really matter. What I'm saying is that person is not receiving a whole lot of compassion. He's an overlooked part of society. But look at what the Bible says. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles.
Can I tell you something? The compassion of the Lord is indiscriminate. David said, hey, the Lord heard my cry, and He delivered me from my fears. But listen, man, David's the king. He's the leader of God's chosen people. He's the richest man on earth. He's got all the money and all the cars and all the stuff and all the clout and the celebrity, and everybody loves David. And David's the most important human being on the earth. And yes, I'm thankful that God delivered him. But what about the man that nobody knows and nobody cares about and nobody sees? I'm glad I've got a God. I'm listening that don't just hear. I'm the top of the top. He hears the bottom. I'm the bottom. Hallelujah. He saves from the uttermost to the guttermost. Hallelujah. I'm glad that when I went to God, having nothing to offer Him, having nothing to give Him, I went to Him, a poor man, with nothing in His hand, nothing good in me, that He heard my cry that day. Hallelujah.
He has indiscriminate compassion. I'm sure thankful that God don't discriminate, because if He did, I'd have never got in. If you had to be rich, I'd have never got in. If you had to be smart, I'd have never got in. If you had to be good looking, I'd have never got in. Are y'all listening to me this morning? You say, not me, preach. Hey, you better look in the mirror. Hallelujah. Listen, if you had to be the best of the best, or the smartest of the smart, or the strongest of the strong, or the richest of the rich, I'd have never made it in. If there'd have been a boundary drawn, but I'm glad He don't discriminate with His compassion.
The old song says, red and yellow, black and white. Hey man, you could extend that forever. Short and tall, skinny and fat, pretty and ugly, rich and poor, man or woman,
Hey, listen, from this country to that country, from this place to that place, smart or dumb, are you listening to me? He loves us all the same. He offers us all the same compassion. When he hung on Calvary, there was a drop of blood to cover my sins, just as much as there was to cover the richest man that ever lived. His compassion is indiscriminate. Magnify the Lord.
His personal intervention, public availability, indiscriminate compassion. Look at verse number 7. This is one of my favorite verses in Scripture. His overwhelming protection. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him
and delivereth them. I remember now. Y'all don't go home and fact check me on everything because I ain't smart as I look. But I remember the servant of the prophet, I believe it was Elijah. They was hemmed up in a little house on top of a hill. And the enemies of God were approaching on them. They was going to get them. And it looked like it was the end of it. There was no escape. And the prophet told his servant, said, I want you to go out there and open your eyes. See what you see. And he said, I see the armies of the Lord encamped round about us. Hallelujah. David said, the angel of the Lord encampeth. You know what it means when you camp? That means you're going to stay there. You know what it means when you pitch a tent on a piece of ground? It means you plan on spending a little time there. It means you ain't getting ready to go. Hey, listen, you don't take up camp if you're going to keep moving. But the angel of the Lord, the representatives of God, the power of the hand of God is encamped around my life. And he delivers me from all my troubles. Hey, listen, there's things that I can't do. But there's nothing that he can't do. And there's no time when he's not ahead of me and behind me and beside me on both sides. He's my rearward, but he's my forward. He's my protection. Amen.
Overwhelming protection. Notice what it says. Encamped round about. That means he ain't just got me on one side, Brian. He's got me on all sides. You know what's good about having a rearward? The Bible, the Lord calls himself our rearward. I can't even say that word. Reward. That's how you spell it. But you know why you got to have a rear one? In case something comes up behind you that you don't see. Y'all ever had something come up behind you that you don't see? Can I assure you of something? God seen it before you did. And if he let it by, there was a reason. Think about that now. If the one watching your six didn't stop the enemy that was coming, certainly it wasn't because he was greater than God.
Yep.
He must have let him slip through for a purpose because he knew that you could defeat him without his help. Y'all listen to me. Amen. Nothing get to you. This is, look, God's the one that said that he'll not put on you more than you can bear, but with every temptation will make a way of escape. There ain't nothing going to get to you that God don't have confidence in you to overcome. Because if he knew you couldn't overcome it, he would have done it before it ever got to you. His overwhelming protection. I'm almost done. I want you to see verse number 8. His desire for demonstration. Listen to this. God issues a challenge right here. David, the hand of God, the voice of God through David. David's turned his attention here in this psalm to those outward. He's not talking to himself. He's talking to everybody else, okay? This is a song that he was writing. Somewhere he had a music man that was going to sing this the next day in church. He's going to sing a special. And here's what he's going to say. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.
Can I tell you something? The Lord wants you to find out what he can do for you.
Hear me out right here. Some of us, we've only ever heard about what the Lord has done for others. And we may even believe in what He can do for them. But here's what David said. He said, you ought to get a taste for yourself. Taste and see. If he's from Baker Town, he says something like this. Mess around and find out. I'll tell you what you ought to do this week. Christian, hear me out right here. Because some of us are living in the land of everybody else's blessings. And we've decided in our mind that we're somehow excluded from this type of relationship with God. That we can't have a relationship with God where we pray and that prayer is answered. We've decided that because we're afraid. We're afraid. You know what most of us are afraid of? That God's way ain't going to be the way we want it to be. So we've decided that everybody else should get in on it except for us. We're just going to watch from the sidelines. I tell you what that'll make you. Listen to me now. I'm fixing to quit. Hear me. I tell you what that'll make you. That'll make you a miserable, miserable Christian. You know how I know that? Because there's churches all across America filled with them. They think that the only way that they can serve God is in their own power, and all of this stuff is for somebody else. I tell you what you ought to do this week. You ought to just get a taste. You ought to just taste and see. I tell you what you ought to do this week. You ought to try God. You ought to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to let you do what you do. And I'm going to get out of the way. There's lots of ways to try God. But I tell you what you ought to do this week. You ought to just taste and see. You ought to just listen. God, I don't have to give you the answer here, because whatever it is in your life that you're holding back on God, He's already revealed to you while I'm standing here preaching. That's what I've learned about Him. I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to just taste and see. Because the Lord is good.
Amen. And He wants you. Look what He says. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. He wants you to trust Him.
And the blessings that await you when you finally get to that place
are so far beyond your imagination. I came to magnify Him this morning because He has a desire to be a part of your life. I want you to stand with me. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.